Now joining upon further review on the Winona Sports Network, we have Matthew Collar back in action. It's been a while, but appreciate the time nonetheless. Matthew Collar, purpleinsider.com. You can see him on Twitter, x.com, at Matthew Collar. Also, author of It's a Numbers Game, a story about numbers and football. Check all those things out. Thanks for coming on again, Matthew. Really appreciate it. Vikings offseason. We've been here for about a month now, ever since they lost that opening playoff round, and the biggest story, as everyone is talking about, is Sam Darnold. Now, where do you stand on the fence of the Sam Darnold situation, Matthew? Tell the people that first.
Yeah, well, I don't feel like it really is much of an argument within the fan base. I think that maybe 98% of Vikings fans want to move on from Sam Darnold and have J.J. McCarthy be their starter next year, but there is a little bit of a hang up with that idea, which is we don't really know where JJ McCarthy stands in his recovery from his knee injury. So he is back on the field, just starting to throw the football again. We heard that at the end of the year press conferences from Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell. We are aware, as we've seen him in the locker room and he was shown on TV, that during his recovery, he certainly lost a lot of weight. I wouldn't take a guess at an estimate, but we'll just say a lot, so he's going to have to, and look, that's how it works for really young players that have injuries like that. But this is somebody you're hoping to play 17 games and play like a franchise quarterback and follow up on a 17 game season with 14 wins, you know, follow up on a season where they were fighting for the division with Detroit and Green Bay. And, you know, Chicago's probably going to be better next year with a new coach. So, to me, it's a lot to ask for a guy who threw 714 passes since he got his driver's license. And, you know, if you look at a Jaden Daniels or Michael Penix, those guys have thrown over 2,000. And there's just a lot more experience there. I understand why everybody's very excited about what they saw last year. I mean, I was at every training camp practice, and I probably told you how good J.J. McCarthy looked and how fast he was coming along. But the only hang-up is, and of course, look, if J.J. McCarthy's fully ready, then, yeah, everybody knows about the salary cap advantage and all that sort of stuff, and this is the guy that you were hoping when they picked 10th overall to be the franchise quarterback. But if Kevin O'Connell feels like it's better to franchise tag Sam Darnold and have him play quarterback for this team for one more year while J.J. McCarthy develops, then I'm going to side with Kevin O'Connell. I mean, nobody knows better than him that what the best option is to do here with J.J. McCarthy. And, you know, if he were to sit out another year, and I mean sit out as in practice and be the backup quarterback and all that stuff, he would be the ripe age of 23 by the time he was starting. So that's still younger than Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, and Bo Nix were this year. So I am a lot less afraid of Sam Darnold returning, especially since he played like a top 10 quarterback last year. But I think the way the season ended was such a gut punch that there isn't as much maybe rationality when we're having that conversation.
I think, you know, the franchise tag, that's obviously a much more responsible route that this team could take. But one way or the other, I mean, you have to realistically expect regression with this team. I mean, to win 14 games again in the schedule they're going to have, in the division that they're in, it is going to be objectively, I would think, harder to do that this year, whoever is at the quarterback position. But don't you think, if the knee is good to go, don't you think a year with J.J. McCarthy, regardless of your reasoning for giving him that extra year to sit, don't you think the experience would be worthwhile regardless of how good or bad it might actually play out on the field?
It really depends because, you know, that schedule point is legit. You can use it for both ways to defend whatever point you're making. I mean, because you could say, well, Sam Darnold's not going to win 14 again, and you're absolutely right, he's not. But also, if J.J. McCarthy is not really ready to go, his knee is recovered, and he's going to be able to go through training camp and OTAs and all that sort of stuff. But it is a war of attrition, as they say, through a 17-game season, and you're going to play at Pittsburgh, you're going to play the Baltimore Ravens, you're going to play the Eagles, you're going to play a Washington team that's going to beef up, you're going to play the NFC North. So there's got to be a lot of, reasonable expectations that are set for a guy who's never played before. I mean, remember, Jordan Love had, 3 years to develop, and still his first eight games were incredibly rocky. So you might look at it as if you go from 14 wins with a veteran team that has Justin Jefferson and Jonathan Greenard, all these star players on it, and then J.J. McCarthy struggles, that could be a lot of weight on him and a lot of pressure. I mean, I think he's a resilient guy who is going to be able to work through that, but it is a lot to ask. Hey, just take over this franchise where a Pro Bowl quarterback with a top 10 performance from the previous season won 14 games. Hey, kid, roll the ball out. I mean, look, I'm not saying that they should baby him, but I think that it's been pretty well proven through the years that patience is okay. To have patience with quarterbacks. It really comes down to what O'Connell thinks. I mean, if O'Connell thinks, look at this schedule, we really need a veteran quarterback, to play against these teams and develop McCarthy, then I'm going to side with him. If they go, hey, it's J.J. McCarthy time, can't worry about the schedule, let's go, I'm going to side with him, which, makes me the worst debate person, and they're not going to put me on Skip Bayless's show, but that's kind of how I view it.
I think that's a good thing that you don't need to go on Skip Bayless's show. Okay, but what about a franchise tag, a tag and trade situation? Is there any likelihood to that? I mean, this team does not have a lot of draft picks. There's still plenty of holes. Can you foresee this team tagging him and then trading him if people in that front office believe there's going to be a lot of action when it comes to Sam Darnold hitting the open market?
Yeah, I think that is hands down the most likely scenario that plays out here, is that they franchise tag and trade him. Because when you look around the league, how many teams need a quarterback? The answer is a lot. Mm-hmm. The Las Vegas Raiders, I mean, they just hired Pete Carroll, who is 74 years old. I don't think that he's necessarily going to want to draft a third round quarterback and develop him over 3 years, right? Mm. I think that they're, but look at the market. Look at what's out there. Do you want Mac Jones, Daniel Jones, Russell Wilson? I mean, Justin Fields, there's really no option that comes anywhere close to as good as Sam Darnold played. I mean, even if you're a team like Tennessee, I mean, I might rather draft Abdul Carter then take, a very risky Cam Ward and, then just get Brian Callahan fired, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of pressure in a lot of situations, even a team like Cleveland. I mean, there's no way Kevin Stefanski could go another year without at least competing for the playoffs and keep his job. The New York Giants are pretty desperate. They might want him as a bridge quarterback if they draft Shedeur Sanders or something. Like, there's so many moving parts there that how would the Vikings not consider those offers? Mm-hmm. And if you can get a second and a third round pick or something like that, that's exactly what, this team needs. So I do think that is by far the most likely situation, but it's hard to say exactly what those offers are going to be. And if those offers are not impressive to the Vikings and they've already franchise tagged them, there's always that risk of, you get sort of caught holding the bag, and not have a good option to trade him. So they've got to really go to the NFL Combine in a few weeks here and figure out what that market really is and what those offers really are for franchise tagging Sam Darnold.
Do you really think that he could net that second round pick back?
I mean, if you're the Raiders, how are you not doing that? I mean, they haven't had a quarterback since Rich Gannon, right? I mean, it's just, seriously, right?
No, you're right. No, you're absolutely right.
They have not won a playoff game since I was a sophomore in high school. I mean, it is a long, long time of suffering for that franchise. And people complain about the Vikings. I get it. But imagine not winning a playoff game since 2002. So I think that Pete Carroll comes in there with ideas to go get a real quarterback, and Sam Darnold makes the most sense for me. And I feel like If you're not giving up a second round pick, the Vikings can just let him walk in free agency and get the third round comp pick. Mm. So you have to come higher than that, right?
Mm-hmm. I know that the quarterback is really the biggest issue, and right now we're talking with Matthew Collar of PurpleInsider.com, but there is other holes with this team, and I did want to get to that with you before I let you go here. Interior O-line was talked about a bunch at the end of the season presser. There's still secondary question marks. You could probably beef up the D-line as well. Where do you think in a season coming up, an off-season coming up, with substantial amount of cap room that they have, where do you think the Vikings and Kwesi is going to focus the majority of that cap space on this coming offseason?
Yeah, there's no question the interior offensive line. I mean, look, if you're going to have a Kevin O'Connell system that asks his quarterback to drop back deep and throw the ball deep and hold on to the ball for 3.5 seconds sometimes while those routes develop, you have to have great interior offensive linemen. And, you know, I think that was maybe when they got to the playoffs, a coaching error on his part of not making an adjustment there, considering the Rams' defensive line. But you know, they clearly have not had a sound middle of their offensive line. I mean, they have in three different instances since 2017 moved a tackle to guard, and it's never worked. And it's just, you know, they're always sort of scraping the bottom of the barrel, whether it's Oli Udo or Blake Brandel or sliding Mike Remmers over there or Dakota Dozier or Tom Compton. Like, all these guys, they're just not even starters in the league at that position. It's time to really invest and really, because this guard class of free agents is pretty good. I think they probably need to get three new interior offensive linemen. I have a ton of respect for Garrett Bradbury. But if you're asking your quarterback to have deep dropbacks and hang on to the ball forever, that's just not your center. It's not who he was ever supposed to be. And I think you need more of a big, giant pass block. So I think if you put all the money into that this offseason, that wouldn't offend anybody. But they have only two corners under contract, and they're both young guys in Mekhi Blackmon and Dwight McGluthern, who's basically never played. Huge questions at safety, because we don't know if Harrison Smith's coming back. Cam Bynum's a free agent. I mean, there's a ton of work to do on this roster. I think they have the pillars of a team that wins 14 games and is really, really good. But how they reshape it over this offseason is really going to determine how far this team goes in the next couple of years.
If you had a guess right now, Matthew, Cam Bynum, Byron Murphy, are they coming back?
If I was guessing right now, I think Bynum does and Murphy doesn't, but that's only a guess because I know that there's a lot of interest in Bynum around the league, but I think that he likes being in Minnesota and would probably take a little more reasonable of a deal rather than going somewhere like, you know, Carolina or Jacksonville or whatever. Murphy, though, I think is just going to be priced out. I mean, he just played so well last year that corners who are even reasonably good and can get interceptions, I mean, they get paid big money. So I think it's possible to bring both of them back, but I feel like it's more likely that just one returns.
Not to mention the Pro Bowl MVP from Byron Murphy. I mean, talk about raising his price tag up. One thing that the fans have sort of grabbed a hold on to, at least over the last month, from what I've noticed on social media, is everyone seems to be in love with the idea of getting a new running back in this draft. For starters, they don't have a lot of picks. Secondly, hard to really justify paying big money on a running back when you need the interior offensive line we talk about and those work in the secondary that they can get done. But what's your opinion of the running back situation coming up in the 2025 season?
Yeah, I can't really be contrarian on this one. I mean, the running back class is great, and the free agent running back class is pretty terrible. Rico Dowdle is an interesting guy from the Dallas Cowboys. He was over 1,000 yards last year. But how about this for a stat? Over the last 3 years, the Vikings have the fewest number of rushes for 20-plus yards in the entire NFL. And I think a big part of that is that they have not had explosive running backs. I mean, Dalvin Cook was in his prime, Aaron Jones was in his prime, and Alexander Mattison never was. They just haven't had that. And I think when you look at the class of running backs, whether it's Omarion Hampton, Ashton Jeanty, who are kind of the cream of the crop, but even the second wave of the Ohio State running backs, or there's a guy from UCF named RJ Harvey, who averaged almost 7 yards a carry and had something like 50 runs of more than 10 yards last year. I mean, they need somebody. You don't need Saquon, but you need somebody who's going to be able to break off a big run and change the game so it's not always throwing to Justin Jefferson. Just somebody who strikes a little fear in the opposing team, because I think at the beginning of the season it looked that way for Aaron Jones, but that faded throughout the year. So I am with that idea, because I think there's a lack of options in free agency, and there's a ton of options in the draft, but you know, they don't have a lot of picks. So that's the counter to that, I guess, but they'll get a third round compensation pick for Kirk Cousins, which maybe ends up going to a running back.
Yeah, that's a good spot for running backs. Do you think that, you know, whether you weigh Sam Darnold or the possibility of a tag and trade, regardless of how they get it, do you foresee this team adding picks before the draft in April?
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, I know that people will be talking about Kwesi Adofo-Mensah's trades down, because one time he did it and it didn't work. But if we did that, if we did football stuff like that all the time, then nothing would ever work. I think it's the right thing for them to trade back and to try to get more draft picks that way. Usually on draft night, some team gets really excited about a prospect and wants to move up a few spots. And, you know, they might have to do that at multiple picks, although I don't think you can move down from a comp pick. So, it's a tricky place to be, but at least they have their first rounder, which you can move down and try to get a little additional capital. But the thing with the draft, I've always felt like you need to fill your needs in free agency and then get the best player you can on draft night. And it's so hard for teams to do, because they go, well, we need, you know, the Vikings. We need a center. We need a center. And it's like, that's just not really what you should be spending your first-round draft pick on in 2019, right? We need a tight end. Like, no, that's probably not it at that time. You should probably just get as much talent as you can. And I feel like this draft does happen to have talent at some of the places the Vikings need most, like running back. I wouldn't do that in first unless it was Genty, but, you know, defensive tackle, cornerback. Like, these positions are pretty deep in this draft, so I still think even though they have a lack of picks, they have an opportunity to get at least a player in the first round who can make a difference.
I'll leave you with this, Matthew. Of the burning questions in the Vikings offseason where you sit, what is the one outside of the obvious Sam Darnold versus J.J. McCarthy? So I'm not going to let you answer with the quarterback, but outside of that, what is the most important question that this front office has to answer in the coming couple of months?
Yeah, I mean, just in terms of ones that we touched on the cornerback, but I think cornerback is a huge thing for them. And I guess what I'm interested in finding out is, from somebody like Kevin O'Connell, you win 14 games, you win Coach of the Year, but the way that it melts in the playoffs, like, what does he think of that? And we're going to talk to him at the Combine, and we'll get his answer. But I'm really curious about, like, going back into the lab and figuring out what happened there and how much he wants to weigh that in terms of adjusting his offense for the next season. And I also think, too, I'm really interested in the entire offseason, which means seeing OTAs, training camp. We'll be interested in how J.J. McCarthy looks. But I wonder about him as a playmaker, him as a runner. Because when you watch the playoffs, it was really the running quarterbacks who could make a difference. And he's never been painted as a runner, but he is a great athlete. And I am curious to find out if they want that to be part of their offense, because Darnold can run better than they let him do. I mean, they never had any design runs or anything like that for him. And then, you know, they had Kirk before, so you were never running with Kirk. But I'm just interested in, when they got to the playoffs, defensive lines dominated the day. And you can add all the linemen you want, but even Philadelphia gave up 5 sacks against the Rams. So I wonder if there is a little bit of looking in the mirror, or if Kevin O'Connell thinks, no, this is the way to win. I want to keep going forward with it.
Always great stuff, Matthew. That's Matthew Collar of PurpleInsider.com. You can see him on Twitter, x.com, at Matthew Collar. Check him out. Always appreciate it. We'll be talking again, I'm sure, around the Combine. We'll be talking throughout the offseason. But otherwise, have a great rest of your day, Matthew.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.